This is WBUR. I'm Lisa Mullins. Jay Giles played a mean guitar. The founder of the Boston-based rock group that bore his name, the Jay Giles Band, has died. John Warren Giles was found yesterday at his home in Groton. He was 71 years old. Jim Sullivan wrote a remembrance of Jay Giles for WBUR's artery section at WBUR.org. Jim Sullivan, Jay Giles was enigmatic. He established the band, played lead guitar, but was very happy to be in the background while Peter Wolf was up front as the showman. What's your take on Jay Giles as the man behind the band?
Well, he was certainly a complicated man. He was quiet most of the time. I interviewed him probably for the first time about 1976, but he was more, you know, part of the background. Peter Wolf was the main voice, I think, main interview subject. But I saw them back, this was back in high school. They were pretty much my high school house band in Bangor, Maine.
Lucky you.
They played the Bangor Auditorium, every 6 months or so. And that was the band I was weaned on. And when I interviewed Joe Perry last night, the Aerosmith guitarist, about that and his experience, which was kind of similar, one of the things he said was that if you have just seen them and they're your initial experience, your baptism into rock and roll, and you think it's all this good, he said, no, it's not. These guys were that good.
They were so good. Joe Perry told you, in fact, in the interview that Jay Giles set the bar for rock and roll. He himself was the anchor of that band. How do we hear his influence and the way he shaped his band and the music?
Well, he wasn't the shaper of the band and the music, really. That was Seth Justman, the keyboard player, and Wolf, the singer. They were the main songwriters. The band started off as an R&B and blues cover band, a terrific one, very high-energy band, unearthing a lot of obscure singles from the 60s. So Jay was, part of that mix. And, I mean, he added the rhythm and lead where needed. He was a very economical player. He wasn't a flashy, loud lead guitar player. He didn't step all over the song.
So when Joe Perry says that Jay himself was the anchor, we know that Jay Giles was hugely into the blues and jazz. Did he keep that kind of signature on the band as well?
Well, the band was always rooted in the blues. I mean, they turned into more of a pop band when they had their MTV hits in the early 80s. But their roots were always in blues and R&B, so I think they all shared that. I don't think it was something he had to drag them toward at all. But when he did leave the band, he basically kind of reverted back to his early love of blues and jazz and formed various groups that were more oriented toward the guys that he grew up with, the Louis Armstrongs. He changed course, and he decided basically he'd had enough of the loud rock and roll stuff, and it was time to do something that fit him more at that age and time.
Let's get back to the loud rock and roll stuff. The song, specifically the song Give It To Me, which you have a good take on.
That was really, to my recollection, the first rock reggae crossover tune to certainly at least to become a hit. They did a single version of it, and then they did an album version of it, and the album version of it was just terrific. It had this long breakdown segment at the end, this percussive bit that just kind of went on maybe 6 minutes or so, the whole song. And it was a real breakthrough because you didn't expect it coming from the Jay Giles Band. You didn't expect it from coming from anybody. And here you can hear Jay Giles taking his lead over the manic percussion by Steve and Joe Blatt and the rest of the band working it out.
Give It To Me was on the Bloodshot album, which came out in 1973. It was almost a decade later that the band hit it really big in terms of popularity. Here's a little bit of Jay Giles speaking in an interview on Boston's Channel 2.
We had the number one single and the number one album pretty much in the world. And in the summer of 82, we were the opening act directly preceding the Rolling Stones on their European tour because we had the hit record.
Yeah, yeah.
They needed us to sell tickets. Imagine
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
You know, that's really hard to imagine. By the way, the album he's talking about is Freeze Frame there. It's hard to imagine that Jay Giles opened for the Rolling Stones in 82. And it's hard to imagine that Billy Joel and U2 opened for Jay Giles' band. What did it mean? What was its place in music history in Boston and well beyond?
Well, there's a long-running debate about whether Jay Giles Band should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and a lot of people, especially around these parts, think that it's a lock, that they should be.
It's hard to believe it's not already.
Well, they didn't have a complete national audience. That's the thing. They were very strong in certain cities, Detroit among them. So there's a question of, in some people's minds, whether they had whatever vague criteria the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame needs. What they meant to Boston was a lot. I mean, what Joe Perry told me. The word of Jay's death popped up on his cell phone, and he told me, he said, it really hit home. It all flashed before me, all those years of great music. I always thought Boston was Peter and Jay's town, and we were the young upstarts. But I still don't think there are any bands that put on the kind of show they did, and we were lucky enough to see that. They took every page out of the book. I still think they are unparalleled as far as a live band goes.
Jim Sullivan, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You can hear and see Jim on the Boston Rock Talk podcast, and you can read his story about the late Jay Giles on the artery at WBUR.org. We leave you now with the Jay Giles Band playing Freeze Frame.